This is Doug Miller. Have you seen anyone raised from the dead lately? Stick around. Let's talk about the Bible.
Communication. Of all God's creatures, man does it best, and he does it through the medium of language, both written and spoken. Dialogue is a program dedicated to the belief that God has communicated truthfully with the most intelligent of his earthly creatures, man. We therefore invite you to enter into dialogue as we discuss the principles, truths, and foundations of God's Word. Now here's your host, Dr. Doug Miller.
Thank you, Paul. That was Paul Sublitz. Doug Miller, the program is Dialogue, and we are back once more by the grace of God with the Bible in hand, and we trust with the unction and encouragement of the Holy Spirit to speak into this microphone and to tell the truth. And of course, that's what it's all about. If we are not telling the truth, then there's no good reason for me to be in here wasting my time, your time, the money of the people of God. And whether or not I am telling the truth depends on how clearly I read this book. And you who are listening, you, if you are saved or indwelt by the Holy Spirit, you judge whether or not what I am saying is the truth. We have before us today, we're in the ninth chapter of Acts and beginning at verse 32, and we have in this chapter, in what remains of the ninth chapter, a notable miracle, the raising of a dead woman. And this brings up all sorts of questions, interesting questions, and we need to deal with these and to answer these questions. And I can assure you right now that many people out there are not going to agree with what I have to say on this. But nevertheless, you bring your Bibles, come along, open up to the ninth chapter of Acts, verse 32, call a friend. Tell them to listen in as well. Now, Dialogue is brought to you every week at this time by Dialogue Ministries Incorporated, a nonprofit organization that exists solely for the purpose of seeing this word go out. And as you have heard me say many times, we are utterly and absolutely dependent upon our listeners and those who have an interest in Dialogue Ministries to keep us going out there. We, as in any faith ministry, we need your prayers, your support, your word of mouth advertising. We cannot exist without you. So pray for us and tell others about us. And, of course, we would always love to hear from you. Our mailing address, Dialogue, Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma, 73083. Now, if you didn't get that, keep your writing materials handy. Paul Sublitz will give it to you again later on at the end of the broadcast. You might say, well, why would I sit down and write these guys? Well, there might be any number of reasons. We might be able to help you. We might be able to provide materials for you. Anything we can do for you that's within our means, we would be happy to do. Write us. Let us hear from you. Also, if you want to email Dialogue, well, it's dialogueministries@sbcglobal.net. Dialogue Ministries, all one word, all small letters, at sbcglobal.net. If you want to call us, 405-568-5048. Now, I've told you before, you'll get a recording, and I'll have to get back with you. But by the grace of God, I will get back with you, and you can ask anything you want or talk to me about whatever you want to talk about. Also, our webpage is up and running, Dialogue Ministries, all one word, all small letters, .org, O-R-G. You can pull down the broadcast, the recordings. All of these are absolutely free. There are no strings attached to any of this. Enough said. Let's get into the ninth chapter of Acts. Now, friends, listen to me and listen carefully. If you are one of these kind of people who have to see some kind of miracle, who have to see some something flashy before you will believe. You are subject to all sorts of error and all sorts of deception and misleading. I want you to remember what the Lord Jesus said in the fourth chapter of John, when the ruler of the synagogue sent down to get him to come and heal his daughters. The Lord Jesus said, "Except ye see signs and wonders, ye will not believe." I want you to remember in the 16th chapter of Matthew, when the scribes and Pharisees came to Jesus and said to him, "Give us a sign, show us a sign that you are Messiah." And he said, "An evil and adulterous generation seeks after a sign, and no sign will be given it except the sign of Jonah the prophet. As Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the whale, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth." Now think of that. To come and seek after a sign. What are you saying if you do that? If God's word says something and you say, "Well, show me a sign to prove it." Prove it. You know what you're doing if you put yourself in that situation? Look back at the fourth chapter of Matthew, Jesus' temptation in the wilderness. At the end of the third chapter of Matthew, at Jesus' baptism, God the Father testified from heaven, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Right on into the fourth chapter of Matthew. And what do you have? The temptation in the wilderness, where the devil comes to him and says, "Well, if you are the Son of God," it might as well call God a liar, if that's the way you want to look at it. "If you are the Son of God, make these stones into bread. Jump off the pinnacle of the temple. Do something spectacular to prove it." And, of course, Jesus wouldn't do this. And he's still not doing it. Now, when we began in the book of Acts, I told you at that time, Acts is the source of much error and much bad teaching. And the reason it is the source of this is because in Acts we have a transitional book. In Acts, we are transisting, as it were, out of the dispensation of law and into the dispensation of grace. The early part of Acts, up to, well, particularly up to chapter 10, which lies right ahead of us, is dealing with the nation of Israel. And almost exclusively, we saw, of course, back in the 8th chapter of Acts, we saw the Samaritans coming in for some of this blessing. We saw an Ethiopian eunuch who was a Jewish proselyte getting saved. But basically still everything is centering in on Jerusalem and the Jews and the Jewish people. And so much of what Peter has had to say in his sermons, you can read these sermons and see that they have everything, as it were, to do with the nation of Israel and the nation of Israel's reception or rejection of Jesus as Messiah. Very important to see that. And very important to read the book of Acts with something else in mind. I want you to, at your leisure, read the first chapter of Corinthians, where Paul says the Jews require a sign. They require a sign. And throughout the history of Israel, you will notice, you've heard me say this before, the Bible is not primarily a book of miracles. It is primarily a book of history. But where you see miracles existing, you tend to see them in clumps, in groups. There are a group of miracles surrounding the Exodus from Egypt. There are a group of miracles surrounding the ministries of Elijah and Elisha. There are a group of miracles surrounding the earthly ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. And there are a group of miracles I guess I should be saying is a group, isn't that? That would be correct English grammar, wouldn't it? There's a group of miracles surrounding the ministry of the early church in Jerusalem. Miracles out among the Gentiles are much rarer. Why? The Gentiles do not require a sign. They walk by faith and not by sight. I walk by faith. If you are saved, you are walking by faith. And to require a sign, to go to God and say, give me some kind of sign that you are who and what you say you are, is to fall under the condemnation of the Pharisees, an evil and adulterous generation. And yet, even as I speak, many of you out there, and many of you listening to me, no doubt, believe that all of these sign gifts are still in operation. There are still all sorts of healings going on and all sorts of, and you know, just fill in the blank. And many of you would say of me, here is a guy who is blaspheming the Holy Spirit because he says that these things are not happening. Well, let me tell you something. We have got a miracle we're going to be looking at this morning. And as we look at it, I want you to tell me who you know who has raised anyone from the dead. If that's happening, and who are these people that were dead, that were raised up from the dead, and who are now walking around among us? Now, let me tell you something. Not long ago, a friend of mine, a very good friend, was down in Florida at a prophecy conference. And while he was down there, he made contact with the son of another good, close friend of mine. And he told me, we were talking about it, and I said, well, how's he getting along? And he said, well, not so good. He said, we hadn't been talking very long before he told me that he had raised someone from the dead. He has this gift of healing, and he is down here claiming to heal people. Well, since then, of course, he healed another guy that I know of a back ailment. The problem is the guy's still got the back trouble. And of course, when this sort of thing happens, what does the healer say? Well, you didn't have sufficient faith. Well, please be careful with this, because I tell you right now, there are all sorts of charlatans walking around out there, and they will mislead you. And many of them are also misled. Nevertheless, let's read this and see what we have in the 9th chapter of Acts. And remember, we are in a transition period here. It came to pass, as Peter passed throughout all quarters, he came down also to the saints which dwelt at Lydda. And there he found a certain man named Aeneas, which had kept his bed 8 years and was sick of the palsy. And Peter said unto him, Aeneas, Jesus Christ maketh thee whole. Arise and make thy bed. And he arose immediately. And all that dwelt at Lydda and Saron saw him and turned to the Lord. Now, I don't know what my problem is, or indeed if I even have a problem. But I have never seen anything like this in my life. And I was saved back in 1957, so that's 54 years ago. I have never seen anyone healed in this way. Never. And if you say, well, I have, fine. But I have not. I have seen people, I have seen in response of prayer, people who were sick made well. I've seen that. But what we have here is a man who is indeed crippled and in bed, and Peter just talks and says, get up. And this is very similar to what we saw earlier with the man that was sitting outside the gate, beautiful, isn't it? Where Peter and John are going in, and here's a man who's never walked in his entire life. Now, friends, honesty is called for here. And it is very important that we not see what we wish to see, that we not delude and deceive ourselves, but that we be honest about the truth and what is the truth. I, once again, not only have I never seen anything like this, I don't believe any one of you out there has ever seen anything like this. But if you say, well, I've seen this, I've seen, you know, what happened in verses 34 and 35. How about what we've got now in verse 36? Now, there was at Joppa a certain disciple named Tabitha, which by interpretation is called Dorcas, which means a roe or a gazelle. This woman was full of good works and alms deeds, which she did. And it came to pass in those days that she was sick and died, whom when they had washed, they laid her in an upper chamber. Now, the woman is dead. There's no question about it. This is what the Word of God says. She's been washed, laid out, and for as much as Lydda was nigh to Joppa, and the disciples had heard that Peter was there, they sent unto him two men, desiring him that he would not delay to come to them. Then Peter arose and went with them. When he was come, they brought him into the upper chamber, and all the widows stood by him weeping, and showing the coats and garments which Dorcas made while she was with them. But Peter put them all forth, and kneeled down and prayed, and turning him to the body, said, Tabitha, arise. And she opened her eyes. And when she saw Peter, she sat up, and he gave her his hand and lifted her up. And when he had called the saints and widows, presented her alive. And it was known throughout all Joppa, and many believed in the Lord. And it came to pass that as he tarried many days in Joppa, or it came to pass, rather, that he tarried many days in Joppa with one Simon, a tanner. Now, in both cases, we have individuals getting saved because they saw a miracle. And there is no question about these two miracles, is there? In the one case, an individual is raised from the dead. And once again, there's no question about this. Now, let's bring it up to today. And first off, let's note that these miracles and these people turning to the Lord, this, once again, is a Jewish population. If you say, oh, you keep saying that, Miller, what's the matter with you? Well, I'm letting the Word of God speak for itself. The Jews require a sign. And at this time, when the church was young and new and Israel had by and large rejected the Lord Jesus and were not willing to receive him as Messiah, at this time it is very obvious that the grace of the Lord was on these apostles. And they were, in fact, performing notable miracles in Israel and among the Jews. And as a result of these, many people were being saved and turning to the Lord. But once again, if you will look at history and look at the church and look out among the Gentiles, you'll see much less of this, even in the Bible. You don't see many miracles being performed among the Gentiles. I think it's a wonderful thing that God in His grace was good enough to do these things for Israel and to show them these miracles and signs and wonders. But I think it's a much more wonderful thing when people hear the word and respond to it in faith without seeing anything. Do you remember the Roman centurion that sent a servant to the Lord Jesus and said, my servant, another servant, obviously, is sick nigh unto death? The Lord said, well, I'll come down and heal him. And the Roman centurion said, I am not worthy that you come under my roof. Just say the word, and my servant will be healed. He said, I'm a man of authority and a man under authority, and I have soldiers under me. And I say to one, come, and he comes, and to another, go, and he goes. I recognize authority. All you have to do is speak. And the Lord Jesus said, I haven't found this kind of faith in all of Israel. And he marveled at it. I think it's a wonderful thing when the Lord Jesus or the Holy Spirit, actually, by the Word of God alone, is able to touch hearts and change lives. And people hearing the Word are willing to lay hold on that Word and say, I believe it, and I'm walking with this way, and I'm going this way. And this, to me, is a much greater miracle than seeing signs and wonders. Now, look, the interesting thing about it is, if I can go out here and raise someone from the dead, you would think, boy, a lot of people will be saved seeing that. Really? I want to point out that the Lord Jesus in the 11th chapter of John raised a man from the dead. That man was Lazarus. Lazarus come forth, and he that had been dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes. The Lord said, loose him and let him go. Now, there were many people standing around the tomb that day when the Lord Jesus called Lazarus out. And of those that were standing there, did some get saved? Oh, I suppose so. The book indicates that they did. But there were many others who, from that point, went right back and began to plot his death. They weren't changed. They weren't saved at all. How many people do you know who are depending on signs, wonders, and miracles before they will believe anything? How many of those do you know that you say, I think they really have faith? Well, I can tell you right now, I haven't seen much of it. If it takes signs and miracles and wonders to get you to believe, you're in a lot of trouble. So at any rate, there's no doubt that we have this miracle going on here. But if you are honest, and you will honestly say to yourself, if I say to you, have you ever seen anyone raised from the dead? Have you seen that? They were dead, they were pronounced dead, and someone came in, laid hands on them, and raised them up from the dead. Have you ever seen that? If you honestly will say to me, yes, I have, I'd like to know who it was and where and when. I'd like to verify this. I'd like to know. But if you are honest and say, you know, I never actually have, I've heard people say this, but I've never seen it. My question to you is, so what? Does it trouble you that you haven't? Are you waiting to see something like that before you believe? I think you're going to be waiting for a long time. God is not going to give you signs and wonders to help you in your belief and in your faith, because Romans 10:17 says, that's right, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, not by miracles and wonders. It comes by the Word of God. And the Holy Spirit takes that Word of God and makes it live and makes it real to you. Are you saved? Don't wait for a miracle. Believe God's Word and come to Christ Jesus right now. This is Doug Miller, and this is Dialogue.
Dialogue, exploring and considering the revelation of the God who created the vast star fields and the simple starfish. Have we communicated with you? Then why not communicate with us? Write to Dialogue, Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma, 73083. That's Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma, 73083. Be with us next week for Dialogue.